Our trustees and all of our officers, each of you God's children.
Thank you, Lord.
To my lovely wife, Sheila. Amen. It's just so good to be with you on today. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 16 chapter, 13th, 14th verse will be my reading. Mm-hmm. I'm reading to you from the King James Version. And mm-hmm. Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Mm-hmm. Let all your things be done with charity. Well, let me say it again, because Paul really kind of choppy in his writing here. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity.
Yes.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For just being God all by yourself. And thank you for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Your unadulterated word, for what your word is accomplishing even right now.
Right now, God.
You said you would send forth your word to the earth, would not return to you void.
Yes.
We thank you for your word today.
Thank you.
We thank you for your word that's gone forth and that's going to come forth. And we receive it even right now.
Right now, God.
I ask you, Lord, you hide me so deep within the curse of the cross behind him. Not a mere scene, but only you. And you get the glory.
Yes.
This is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I wish there's allergies, but y'all know better than that, don't you? 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. And Paul said in the 14th verse, let all your things be done with charity.
All right.
Now, for the next few minutes, hour, it depends on your participation, I want to talk to you from the subject, do everything in love.
All right.
Do everything in love. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
what
would it be like
if
we did everything
in love?
A few days ago, and the snow was amounting to around 12, 13, 14 inches in areas. And there were people at home, I'm just believing, that were nervous because they were a little bit concerned that the next day, being Valentine's
Day,
they wouldn't have a chance to get out of the house and get a card and get some candy. Perhaps the flowers wouldn't make it in time, and they wouldn't have an opportunity to be able to show the one they love how much they love them. Or maybe they were concerned that the one that they love would be concerned that they didn't show them, you know, the picture. But on Valentine's Day, we got out of the house.
All right,
and I realized that, see, but we decided that we were going to do it. We had a 7 o'clock, you know. And we decided we'd go a little bit earlier and change our, you know, time. And turns out, you know, you can't very well change your time.
Come on, preacher.
On Valentine's Day. Everybody want to go out and eat on Valentine's Day. We did find a place, though. We went a little bit earlier somewhere else, but the parking lots were full.
Yeah. All
right. The restaurants were full of folks trying to show on that special day their love to their loved one.
Uh-huh.
I have to think that's what was taking place. I looked at and thought about it. Now, what if we did this every day?
Come on, preacher.
What if we anticipated the opportunity to show the one we love that we love them?
Right.
What if on that, I was in the store a few days earlier looking for a card, and there was a young man there with me, and he said, we early. Yeah, we early. We're getting ahead of things, aren't we? We kind of like to wait until that day of, but we got ahead of it. But wouldn't it be nice to have a situation where we really look for the opportunity to show love?
All right.
What kind of church?
Oh, my Lord.
Would this be? Now, I don't want to talk about nobody else. I'm just going to talk about our house right here. What kind of church would this be if we really, really did everything in love? Can I talk to you about what was going on? Let's talk about Corinthians. Y'all don't want to talk about it here. The church in Corinth had a host of problems. They had all kind of stuff that was going on. They were suffering from spiritual immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
They had indifferences, and they was, Paul called it ignorance, and simple misunderstanding. Throughout Paul's letter to Corinthians, he covered things like the arrogance of those in leadership positions. Imagine that. Arguments over who should lead the church. Imagine that. Factions within the church. Imagine that. This organization and worship service never happens. Christians suing other Christians
in civil court.
Tolerance of members who were living openly in sexual sin. Don't even go there. Gluttony and drunkenness at fellowship meals. Pride and spiritual giftedness and misuse of spiritual gifts. Everybody wanted everybody else to know that they had spirituality going on.
Come on. All right.
And you know what? I wonder, excuse me, though, I know Paul wrote to this about to rent, but I wonder what would that be like if we all really just tried to show out in praise.
All right now.
What it would be like being a church where we really did try to show out the gifts that God has given us. We don't have that problem here. But Paul had this problem in Corinth. But Paul writes now in the 16th chapter of Corinth, and in the middle of his final reading, in a very few words of the text, Paul fittingly concludes everything that he had in mind, and he reminds those Christians at Corinth to guard their spirituality.
Right.
Now, he had talked about all of these issues, but then he closes here in the middle of his closing with the two little lines. He starts off by saying, watch ye.
All right.
Pay attention. I think if we look at this, this actually fits us today. We need to watch. In view of the special dangers, the trials, the tribulation, the temptation, Paul exhorted the Christians to watch, to keep awake, to wake up, to be vigilant, to observe the movement of the enemy. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
We need to pay attention, church, to what's going on around us. There's so much going around in the world. It has seeped into the church, and we've missed it.
Yes, sir. All right, preacher.
Because we were not paying attention. Matthew 26:41 said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's talking about watch what you're doing.
All right.
But there's another passage in 25:13 said, watch therefore that you know, for you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man would come. That means watch what you're not doing.
All right. Uh-huh.
So we got to watch what we're doing. Commission and what we're not doing, omission. See, that's just some things we need to watch. We need to watch out for opportunities to be able to give some service to somebody, to receive good, to do good. We need to be watchful so that we can find ourselves in a position where we can do those things that God requires and not do those things that God not requires. He says, watch ye.
Yes, sir.
Everybody needs to be watching. I'm watching you. And you're watching me. And if you're not, you need to be careful because, see, sometimes we need to be watching because sometimes the stuff that's going on, we need to know and say something about it going on.
All right.
But if I'm too busy doing what I'm big enough to do, and you too busy doing what you're big enough to do, then we both missing what we're big enough to do. That makes sense?
Yeah.
He says in second part, and he gets a little choppy, he says, stand fast. Now here, he's positioning him to say, look, I need you to grow. Stand fast in the faith. Mm-hmm. In other words, stand up for what's right.
All right.
The church was in trouble, and he's telling the folks that's us in the church, he said, look, stand up for what's right.
Persevere.
Do not deviate from the faith. Rather, stand firm in the truth that has been revealed unto you about who Christ is. Stand up.
All right.
And Paul said, and having done all to stand, he said, stand.
Anyhow.
Therefore, be firm in maintaining your defense of the truth of the gospel. Do not yield to your foes, for the gospel is the only thing that's going to save them. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled with the affairs of this world. Galatians 6:9 and said, let us not be weary in well doing, for we in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've got to stand, church.
All right.
You gotta stand for something, you're gonna fall for anything.
Amen.
I mean the dialogue. I love our Sunday school lessons because it's an opportunity to be able to dialogue for us to be able to talk with one another about what the scripture said.
Yes.
But we learn a lot.
That's right.
When we talk to one another,
yeah.
We need to understand what it is we stand for. Because sometimes the stuff that has creeped in is not consistent with the stuff that Jesus sent out.
Amen. Right. Amen.
He said, and then he said, and that's why he said, quit you like men. I like this one. He said, be men. Be mature. I'm going to do it this way. He said, think like a woman, but act like a man. That book's not out yet, but it's right here. says, show that you are missed. Don't be a coward. Don't be timid. Don't be alarmed by your enemy. Brother, be bold. Be brave. Be a man. Be mature. Don't behave like children tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. Brother, receive and retain the truth at all costs. Be steady. Don't be wavering. He said, now speaking, have sound judgment. Paul, brother, looking back in the Old Testament, there was a war between the Philistines and Israel. He said in 1 Samuel 4:9, he said, be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. If you don't mature, act mature. If you don't stand firm, you're going to find yourself being a slave. If you don't stand up for what's right and serve the Lord, then you don't be a man about it. Be mature, and that's what he's saying. If you don't be mature about it, what's going to happen? You'll fall for anything, and you'll find yourself serving something that you ought not to be serving.
All right, all right.
You said it was all right. You knew it was wrong when they brought in the church, but you didn't say anything about it. As a result of that, they're doing it now, and you're doing it right along with them, as if it's okay.
All right.
Preach.
Quiet. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, he said, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I can't get caught up in what you get caught up in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm too busy trying to serve the master.
Okay. All right.
If we do everything in love, I don't have time to be getting entangled with what's going on here.
Mm.
I got a higher calling. Yeah. Let me go on. He said, Paul said, and he said further, he said, be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Be firm.
Mm-hmm.
Be fixed. Be steadfast. Be strong. Now, I want to emphasize, this is not your kind of strong, because your kind of strong, we're thinking about is bodily strength, you know. But Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, he said, bodily strength profited nothing. But the strength I'm talking about is the strength in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Let me back myself up. Psalm 27:14, he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Maybe you didn't get that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:9, he said, in 7, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, because, again, I'm made strong in my weakness.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't understand that, do you? Let me explain that. Because when you're not relying on your flesh,
come on, preacher,
and you're dependent on the Lord,
amen,
you can get strength from the right place. See, if you're in there doing it because you have the talent and you have the skill set, well, that's yours. But see, God has never called anybody to a task that they were already equipped for. He called them to a task that he equipped them for, so that he could get the glory. So if you're in there doing your own thing, that's your thing. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
We need to understand where our strength is coming from. It's not about how strong I am physically, what I already know, or what I can accomplish myself. It's about the strength of the Lord who is supporting me.
Come on. All right.
Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
So when you are called upon to do for God, to do a task that you are not equipped for, don't sit back and debate with God about it. Be about God business. Say, Lord, I yield. If you want me to go, I'll go.
All right.
Is that fair enough?
All right.
God has an interesting way of giving you everything that you need.
Amen.
For the task, and then some.
All right.
Lastly, Paul said in the 14th verse where we take our text from, he said, let all your things be done with charity. Do everything in love. See, Paul here writes, and it's very interesting, because he just told us to watch, to stand, to be men, to be strong. And then he seems to back off of it a little bit and says, do everything in love. See, because what happens is, if you get too heady in this Christian walk,
say so.
You can get too hard.
All right.
If you mess around and do all that he said and not have the Lord as a basis of you doing it, then you'll find yourself hurting more people than you're helping.
All right.
See, some of us have been blessed with the necessary skill set, but we don't understand it's not what you do, but it's how you do what you do.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Help.
Some of us are loving people. We
we've been blessed to be able to teach, but we're teaching so hard and so strong, we've arrived at a point that we figure everybody ought to be what we are. Now, they're just babies.
That's right. All right.
Why are you treating babies like they're grown folks? Get them the milk and then let them grow. They teach them how to grow, and then it'll be all right. Some of us, we need to understand our position and do things in love. Yes. I believe in tough love. Ask R.J. and Tyler. But you got to understand the placement. Do everything in love. We got to be careful. Paul, although Paul wanted us to be men of faith, he wanted us to do the right thing the right way.
Yeah.
We must be careful in our manly and mature defense of the faith that charity not only reigns in our heart, but that it shines in our lives.
Yeah.
Love has to be the premise, the foundation upon which we build and do everything that we do. Otherwise, we are wasting our time. Let me bear myself out. 1 Corinthians 13, y'all know that one? Know how to speak with the tongue of men of angels? Know how to give the gift of prophecy? Understand all mysteries and knowledge and have all faith and can move mountains and have not charity? He said, I'm nothing. Do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and I give my body to be burned and have not charity? He said, what? It profits me nothing. If we're not doing it with love as the premise, then we are missing the point.
That's right.
Love has an interesting effect. If you really love somebody,
all right.
You remember when you first fell in love?
Oh, my Lord.
And you were so blinded by the love. You couldn't see the light. You couldn't see anything that was going on. You just, love has a way of blinding you. There's a lot of truth to that. Charity has a way of covering. And Paul, 1 Peter says in 4:8, he said, above all things, that fervent charity among you, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. When you're in love, you can look over some stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You didn't even see the flaw.
No.
Everybody else saw it. But you didn't see it. Because that's what love does.
Yes, sir.
So we're doing things in love. We understand that when someone walks in and they're not complete, we can accept them in their incomplete state.
All right.
Because look at what God did for me. God looked beyond my faults.
Yes, sir.
And he saw my needs.
Yes, sir.
That's the kind of God that we serve. We got to understand that love as a motive for our action, it'll change our conduct, and all of a sudden, we'll be able to treat our friends and our foes right. John 4:21 said, thou shalt that he who loveth God love his brother also. And then, but Luke 6:27 said, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you.
Yes, sir.
Now, that takes some real love to do that, but that's the kind of love. If we do everything in love, see, we don't have necessarily enemies. We got frenemies. We got people that they have not yet discovered us yet. But I'm not doing it because of you anyway.
That's right. Amen.
I'm doing it because of the love of God in me.
Amen.
If God did for me because of me, I would be in a bad state even today. But God did it because of him.
Amen.
Now that's the kind of love we're supposed to have in our heart. Agape love that's not based on reciprocity. You did it for me, I'll do it for you. But it's just because God loved us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's love, church.
That's love.
Paul brings us full circle when he started to begin to talk about this conversation about love. He said, now the foundation of how Christians should live is love. Our faith is based on love.
All right.
He said, it doesn't mean, for Corinthians specifically, it means no more feuds. No more spiritual show-offs. No more lawsuits or suits against your Christian friends. No more pride and arrogance in the church leadership. No more gluttony and drunkenness during the fellowship meal. He said, brother, let us do everything in love. And let's be the Christian, be Christ-like, Christ has loved us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can we do that?
All right.
Oh, yes, sir.
Jesus loved us so much, and he held it in such high esteem. And he said, well, there was a lawyer who came to him and said, well, what are the greatest commandments?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, that's one, and then that's two.
Mm-hmm.
One, love God. Two, love your neighbors. That's it. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four about loving God, the first last six are about loving your neighbor.
Amen.
That's all. It's all about love. Mm. Do everything in love. Not only did Jesus command love, but he typified it and demonstrated in everything that he did. John 15:13 said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man will lay down his life for his friend. What did Jesus do? Laid down his life for who?
All right.
Friends. He called us friends, even though we were not that friendly. 1 John 3:6 says that hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to get this one, lay down our lives for the brethren. Mm-hmm. I like y'all. A lot. A whole lot. Moving on. Do everything you love.
Everything.
Look what God, how much he loves us, and how we have to aspire to. Romans 5, and he said, but God commended his love to us, and that while we was yet sinners, Christ died.
All right.
He didn't die because we were righteous.
Yes, sir.
But he died because while we were yet sinners.
That's right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, and shall have everlasting life. Christ did this for us, came down through 42 generations. Out there in the garden before he got ready to go, I heard him praying to the Father, Father, and not at my will, but thy will be done. Looked in the cup and he saw all the sins of Ricky Lane, Jasper,
come on,
and said, I don't know about this, but Lord, I know why I came here. I know why I'm here, not at my will, but thy will be done. Terry, he wouldn't come down and he wouldn't go up.
Yes,
he could have gotten off the cross, and he could have called on 10,000 angels to take him up from the cross, but he didn't do either one, but he hung there and he died. That's love, church.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if it had been me. I don't know. I would have called on the 10,000 angels. They'd at least been hanging around while it was going on. When the pain kicked in, it would have been a problem. But thank God he said, Jesus, because I wouldn't have been good enough to go, but I thank God he died in my stead. Well, what is this love thing? Well, I'm glad that you asked. To be in love and to show love, we've got to be Christ-like. 1 John 4:7 said, wait a minute, God is love.
Yes,
beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. See, it's not enough to say we love the Lord and we love what he did for us, but we've got to love one another.
That's right.
You know this is bigger than just a word on the pages in the Bible? This is bigger than you just saying, I love the Lord, because you know that's the right answer in church. What's the right answer in church when someone asks you? Well, it's either God, Jesus, or God and Jesus. You normally get pretty close if you give those answers, and that sounds pretty good. But you got to understand that when it comes to God and Jesus, it also has something to do with us.
That's right. Amen.
You've got to be able to get on. You cannot demonstrate your love for God just by demonstrating your love to God. You've got to do it by dealing with your brethren also. 1 John 3:14 said, by least what you know, we shall know we have that passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Yes, sir.
You said that you've been saved, but I don't know it. By you saying it, but if you say it and you do something with the way you treat your brother, then I can tell it. I can see how you are as it relates to God by how you relate to your fellow man. You're trying to trick me. You're trying to make me think that salvation is just confessing and believing, and then you can act and treat me any kind of way.
Come on.
I don't know. That just don't seem right to me. I haven't read a whole lot, but I know that just doesn't seem to fit on the pages just right. But if by chance you demonstrate your love toward me, despite how I treat you, then it says you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Let me go further. John, 1 John 4, and say, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he said he's a liar.
That's right.
Now, that's one of those Ten Commandments that you're not supposed to violate, which falls in the second category. He said, now he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he seen, how can he say he loves God whom he hasn't seen?
That's right.
I'm trying to get us to a place. We got to learn how to deal with one another, and we got to do things in love, because if we would find ourselves doing things in love, church, this would be a whole different
situation.
You know how many people want to be around people that love people?
No,
I mean, love has a drawing effect. Love has a way of people just want to hang around you when you have that love in your heart. John 13:35 said, by this shall all men that you know that you are my disciples. That you go to church every Sunday. No. That you go to Bible study every Thursday. No. That you read your Bible out loud. No. That you carry your Bible boombox. No. That you pray out loud. No. That you sing the loudest. No. That you shout the loudest. No. That you jump on the run down the aisle and jump on the pew. No. That you love one another.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I've got no other way to know how. change that's taking place except for how you deal with one another.
Yes, sir.
We've got to learn how to treat one another and do everything in love.
Yes,
Jesus came back. When he came back, there was a fellow who had denied him three times by the name. Y'all know Peter. Peter talked a whole lot, but at this particular meal, Peter got kind of quiet. I heard Jesus when he came back. He said, Simon Peter, do you love me?
Yes, sir.
He said, Master, you know I love you. He said, well, I tell you what, feed my lamb. I need you to do something. I need you to show your love toward me. Don't just sit here and tell me that you love me. Show me that you love me. He said, well, okay, Peter did. He said, Simon Peter, you denied me. Peter, let me try this again. Do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. Master, you know I love you. He said, well, I tell you what, feed my sheep.
All right.
Yeah, I hope y'all see the sequence here. That it's not enough for you just to tell me that you love me. I need you to show me your love through your interaction with your brother and your fellow man. He said, well, then, Simon, he said, Bella, you did it three times. Let me try you again. Simon, do you, Jonas, son of Jonas, love thou me? Peter said, he was grieved in the spirit. But he said, Lord, the third time, love you. Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, I'll tell you what, feed my sheep. I hope y'all getting this.
Yes, sir.
We get so caught up in trying to say we love the Lord and saying we love the Lord, but then we don't seem to be able to get along with one another.
Come on,
you got to understand, you cannot get to heaven past me. You better love me in spite of. I love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
You can hate me if you want to, but I'm going to love you because you're not going to keep me out the gate. I'm going to the city, and you can't keep me out the gate by trying to get me not to love you. The love of God, I love this passage. We often talk about what is the love of God, and I found a definition in 1 John 5 and 2 and 3. He said, but this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments.
Yes, sir.
Now, y'all remember we talked about the Ten Commandments. We know his commandments are. He said, the love of God is to keep his commandments. The love of God is to keep his commandments. Y'all hear that?
All right.
Can y'all repeat that with me? The love of God is to keep his commandments. Now we like this passage in Romans 8. What shall separate us from the love of Christ?
All right.
What is the love? No. To keep his commandments.
All right.
So the question here is, what's going to keep you from keeping his commandments?
All right.
Right now.
I just rephrased. I just filled in the blank. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, shall tribulation? No. Shall distress?
No.
Shall persecution?
No.
Shall famine?
No.
Shall nakedness?
No.
Shall peril?
No.
Y'all feeling me?
Yeah.
See, we like that passage because we say, what's going to separate me from loving God and if it's some interaction that I just have with God alone? Well, it's bigger than that. It's about your interaction with his commandment, about your love for the brethren and your love for God. And also, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
All right.
What's your separate? Nothing. There's nothing to stop me from loving you.
All right.
You can't even stop me from loving you. Right here it just says, shall distress? You're not going to distress me. Nothing. Shall separate me from loving God and loving you.
All right.
I'm going to love you anyway.
Love you.
We need to. Church, what if we all had that attitude?
My God.
That we just don't love each other in spite of. Do you imagine what it would be like walking here on Sunday morning? You know what it's like to go into church and you know you feel the love and people ain't poking fun at you and saying, they ain't going to be here. Or, you know, look at her. Oh, look at him. Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have that stress of somebody saying something nasty behind your back or can't wait till they get out? You know that you know. And those who are doing it, just so you know, they know. They know. Do everything in love. I'm going to close here because Tina Turner had this thing wrong, but we adopted her phrase with love. She said love was a secondhand emotion, a sweet old-fashioned notion.
Yeah.
And some of us treat love just like it's a secondhand emotion, a sweet old-fashioned notion. But I stop by to tell you, if you don't love me and love your brother like you're supposed to, it'll keep you out of heaven.
Right.
It'll be worse than you think it is. But you got to love and just do everything in love. I had a Sunday school teacher that was when I was growing up. She got on my nerves. Let me just tell you the truth. She got on my nerves. And when I got smart, I got smart around 13, 14 years old. I started to understand it. Let's read the Bible for myself. And I really did. She got on my nerves because everything that she talked about was love. It didn't matter what that lesson was about. She was going to somehow wrap it around love. I mean, we'd be talking about the creation. She said, love. She talked about Revelation. She said, love. We said prophecy. She said, love. We said poetry. She said, love. She said history. She said, love. She said, eschatology. She said, love. She said, story she tells her, she said love. She said somebody's commandment is about love. I went to the superintendent. I said, I'm sick and tired.
That's all right.
But every time we have a lesson, she talks about love.
Yeah.
You know what? I grew up.
Hallelujah.
I get it now.
Yeah.
Everything in this word is about love.
Yeah.
I heard him say,
yeah,
when I get there at the end day, I'm going to do some separating.
Right.
I'm going to put some sheets on my left hand. I'm going to put some gold on my right. I'm gonna, some gold on my left hand, some sheep on my right hand. And the only difference is love.
Right.
When I was hungry,
right,
you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink.
Yeah.
When I was a stranger, you took me in.
Yeah.
When I was naked,
you clothed
me.
Yeah.
When I was sick, you fitted to me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. Love.
Love.
Love. That's all this whole word is about, is love.
Sure,
we ought to do everything in love. We need to walk in love.
Yes.
We need to talk in love.
Yes.
We need to work in love.
Yes.
We need to play in love. We need to eat in love. We need to sleep in love.
Yes.
We need to drink in love.
Yes.
We need to praise in love.
Yes.
We need to pray in love.
Yes.
We need to study in love.
Yes.
We need to shout in love.
Yes.
We need to enter the gate in love.
Yes.
We need to manage in love. We need to supervise in love.
Yes.
We need to mentor in love. We need to lead in love. We need to teach in love. We need to preach in love. We need to reach in love. We need to sing in love. We need to forget in love. We need to remember. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else will help, love lifted me. Somebody say, I got the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
I got the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
I know the church open.
All right.
Church, what he did for us, he did it in love.
All right.
If you're here today,
thank you, God.
And you don't know him, I'm coming to you telling you God loves you. And so do I. God loves you so much that he died for you. And he made your salvation so easy. He said all you have to do is just confess and believe. Romans 10:9-10. Confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead. Thou shalt be saved.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Get you here. If you don't know him, I encourage you now to get to know him for yourself. Get to know him for yourself. He died for you individually and us collectively. If you hear some saying, who is this Jesus? If you're here today, if you're here and you don't know him, I beg you, I plead with you, I beseech you, come now. Come now. Come now. Give God your heart. Give us your hand. And then be about the business of doing what God has called you to. You will never know who you are until you know who he is.
Yes, sir.
If you're here, if you're here. Church, I challenge us to do everything. To do everything. Everything in love.